Thoughts on Mark. Mark chapter 10 and verses 42 to 45. This is the last discourse on this section. We've looked at what Christ has been saying to his disciples, and so on. But the last point is this. We've had the example set, we've had the challenge, we've had the doctrine, the instruction, we've had the rebuke, all this has come over. Now the final point is this. What of us? We have to make use of this. We have to apply this to ourselves. Surely the lessons are plain here, explicit, clear. Let me just read it to you. You know those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. You know that. That's the way of the world. And their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Not in the church. Not in the kingdom of Christ. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. That's the measure of greatness in the kingdom. And whoever wants to be first, well, the way you measure it in the world, well, you know what that is. Now, it's not so with you. He must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Surely the lessons here are plain. The two kingdoms, the two realms, the two worlds, the two systems. I don't know what words to use here. The kingdom of Christ and the world. The ecclesia and the world. And the kingdom of Christ, the ecclesia, is utterly different to the world. See my thoughts on the kingdom, that series there. So, what of us? What shall I say of Christendom, past and present? What shall I say of the fathers, those men so long ago now? And what they did, going back to the old covenant, going to paganism, and bringing in the principles of what? Hierarchy, clericalism, priestcraft, social order, political power, all these very things that Christ said should not be in his kingdom. Oh, the fathers brought about untold damage. And that led, in a very short time, to what? The Church of Rome. What do we see in the Church of Rome but power, money, corruption, hierarchy, rule, lordship, the very things that Christ condemns. Ah, but then the Reformation. But what do we see after the Reformation? Yes, there was some recovery of the New Covenant. There was, especially in the matter of salvation. But in the matter of church, Christendom, the medieval church was left intact. Oh, yes, popery was removed in the outward trappings. And the priesthood of all believers was restated. But it was very limited. Clericalism still ruled in the reformers. Hierarchy. State churches. Power. And what of the evangelicals? What of us today? Have we got any clergy? No, well, we don't have clergy. Yeah, we disguise the name. Hierarchy? Oh, no, we don't have any hierarchy, don't we? Pecking order, status, money, wealth, building, status, all that, name, stardom. None of that, none of that. It's all very different to the world, is it? The modern evangelical is doing all modern evangelical churches are doing all they can to get as close to the world and as like the world and as appreciated by the world as possible. They're more like the world than the world. Self, I, me, wellness, well-being, deserve, likes, want, now, me, all the time. Oh, my friend, this is a short discourse, but it's the living which is long. The discourse itself is short. Listen to the apostle. I'll speak first with use Paul's words. Your attitude, he says to believers, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very form of a servant. And being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him and so on. But down, down, down. And we'll let Peter speak to us. In a passage, Philippians chapter 2. Now I'm in 1 Peter chapter 2, in a passage which deals very much with submission. Verse 13 of chapter 2, submission. Going on into chapter 3, submission. Well, here it is. Slaves, submit yourselves. If you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example. You see, Peter remembered these words, that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. When he entrusted himself, but instead he entrusted himself to him who judges justly, and so on. Here's the word of Peter, chapter 5, to elders. Be shepherds of God's flock that's under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock, and so on and so on. A short discourse. Long living. The lessons are plain, my friend. We live in the age and the culture of self. Brothers and sisters, in the kingdom to which we belong, is not self. Christ is all.